Well, tonight we are wrapping up our series, Let's Talk Relationships. We've been in this series for the last couple weeks, and we're finishing it up tonight. And we are talking about dating. Yeah. Dating. Fun stuff. Some of you are a little excited. Some of you are really uncomfortable right now. Maybe you're sitting by your boyfriend or girlfriend. You're wondering, what is tonight? How's tonight going to end? You're not sure how tonight's going to end. Might be a breakup on the way. All right, let me go ahead and say this. Anytime I talk about a topic, especially like dating, let me say this, because I don't want you going home and saying something weird. Listen, the Bible, believe it or not, says nothing about dating. Nothing. Because here's the thing, dating was not a thing back when the Bible was written. And a lot of people will say, well, if dating's not in the Bible, then dating's not biblical. The kind of relationships they had in the Bible is when a guy would sell his daughter for a cow, and that would kind of be the exchange. It was arranged marriages, people trading people for livestock. So I don't know if we necessarily want to follow the biblical model on dating or relationships, but because dating was not a thing, the Bible really doesn't say anything about dating. But what the Bible does say a lot about is honoring and respecting your parents. So tonight, listen to this. Tonight, I think we're going to be giving you some very helpful and practical advice about dating. I think it's going to be good stuff. But what we say falls underneath what your parents say about dating. So if your parents have certain rules about dating and relationships, do not go home and say, well, Matthew says the Bible says this about dating, because I'm not saying that. Your parents' rules about dating trump anything we say tonight. So let me just kind of preface with that. Now, I recognize there's kind of three groups represented in the room tonight. There's one group, and it makes up a number of you, and you're a few years away from dating. Maybe you're in middle school, or maybe you're in high school, and your parents say you can't date till you're 25, or whatever reason. There's some of you in here who are a few years away from dating. And here's how I think tonight can benefit you. I think tonight can provide you with some insight and some knowledge that can save you from a lot of potential issues down the road. The stuff that we're going to cover tonight, I wish I had known when I was in middle school, or I had known as a freshman or sophomore in high school. So for those of you who would say, hey, I'm not dating anyone, it's going to be a few years till I'm dating, tonight can still be very helpful and practical for you to prepare you for the future. The second group is those of you who you would say, yeah, you're ready to date. Maybe you're old enough or your parents say that you can date, but you're not dating right now. You're allowed to date, you're ready to date, but you don't have a boyfriend, you don't have a girlfriend. And what I hope tonight will do for you is help you as you make decisions, probably in the near future, about who to date. I hope tonight will help you make wiser decisions about who you will date or who you won't date. But there's also a third group in the room tonight. And it's those of you who are dating somebody. You've got a boyfriend, you've got a girlfriend, and here's what I hope for you. Like I said, what we're saying tonight, I'm not quoting the Bible because the Bible doesn't say anything about dating. So you can completely ignore everything we say tonight if you want. That is your prerogative. I can't tell you what to do. But I really believe that the four of us who are going to be talking tonight have some insight that might be helpful for you in your current dating relationship. And maybe after tonight, there might be a few tweaks or changes you might need to make to your relationship. So there's three groups in the room. Just want you to know, regardless of which group you fall in, I think tonight can be very helpful and practical advice for you. So let me go ahead and welcome up tonight's panel, Josh, Morgan, and Brooke. Make some noise for them. The middle school boys are pumped. I'm glad. Man, they are ready to learn how to get a date. They are ready. Oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be real fun. Noah and Luke are so excited. Man, never seen y'all so excited before. All right, so just in case you did not know, we're married and they're married. If you didn't know. They got married back in December, so fairly newlyweds. Things are great right now. They're loving life. And her and I and May will be celebrating 5 years of marriage and 10 years together. Some of these kids are 10.
Aww.
Isn't that crazy? All right, so question number one, a deep philosophical question. What is the purpose of dating? What do y'all think? What's the reason behind dating? What's the purpose of it? Who wants to kick that off? Josh? It's a loaded question.
What's the biblical reason for dating?
We've already said the Bible says nothing about dating.
Good point.
What is the purpose?
So the purpose of dating, I think, ultimately is to find somebody that you want to marry. But when you're in middle school, that's not super practical. Or when you're like a freshman in high school, that may not be super practical all the time. But that's the ultimate goal, is to find somebody that you want to marry. But I think kind of dating in high school can also kind of help you realize what aspects of somebody you want to marry. Not like different kind of parts of them that they have, like their attributes. That's the right way to say that.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I had too. Like, when you're dating, you find out what you want and what you don't want in someone. Because I think before you start dating, you might think you want some quality of in that person, but then you realize that you might not want that. And so I think, like, yes, the intention is to prepare yourself for marriage, but like Josh said, if you're in middle school, I mean, hopefully you're not dating, but that's not practical. So I think...
Don't judge them.
Okay. Well, I am judging you. It's one in the front.
He's ready to get married. He is so excited. That's you.
But yeah, I think it's really just to figure out, like, what you want, what you don't want in a person. And you also learn a lot about yourself, too, in that process. So
I think it's great to, like, date somebody with the intention of, like, possibly marrying them one day. But I would also encourage you to, especially girls, like, we have the tendency to, like, put that expectation on our relationships really early on. And so, like, you all know that girl who, she talks to a boy and she's like, oh my gosh, that's my future husband. Don't be that girl, okay? Girls, don't be that girl. So just listen, have realistic expectations for your relationship and don't think he's your husband from day one, okay?
Here's what I would say, kind of pretty similar to what they're saying. So yes, I think the ultimate purpose and reason to date is to find somebody that you're gonna marry. But let me preface that. I do not think that you have to be ready to get married before you date. So you don't have to say, hey, I can't date until I'm 22 and have a job and have a college degree. I think you can date before you're ready to get married. But when you are dating with trying to figure out, is this somebody that I might want to marry? And then secondly, you don't have to know that you're going to marry them before you date them. I've heard some people say, like, well, you shouldn't date them unless you know you're gonna marry them. I don't know how you would know you're gonna marry them unless you date them, unless you're doing the whole arranged marriage thing. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But I would say the ultimate purpose of dating is marriage, and you just don't date just as a hobby or just as, you know, just something you do for fun on the side.
Yeah, dating for fun doesn't work.
Do you have experience that you would like to share?
Not my personal experience.
You've just seen it?
Yeah, it always ends poorly.
It does end poorly.
Because then at some point it stops being fun.
Yes. All right, so question number two, kind of following on question number one. How do you know when you're ready to start dating? So they're in this room and they're wondering, like, am I ready? And, you know, maybe their parents have said, yeah, you can date. How do they know when they're ready to start dating?
I think if you like somebody and you think you want to date them, I think that's a good place to start. But then also, I think, like, knowing yourself and kind of, like, if you're emotionally mature enough to date somebody. And when I say that, I mean, like, you won't... When you're dating in high school, your most important thing shouldn't be your high school relationship. There's a lot of other things that come before the person you're dating. So being able to have your priorities right before you go into dating with that kind of mindset, I think that helps a lot. And I think that makes it when you know you're ready to date.
I think a good question to ask yourself when you're thinking about getting ready to start dating is, what am I looking to get out of it? So what am I looking to get out of this dating relationship? Am I trying to date somebody just because all of my friends have boyfriends or girlfriends, or because I'm lonely? Like, what are you trying to get out of it when you start dating someone?
I literally had that same thing. Like, why do I want to date this person? Because I think, especially as girls, like, we want to date someone, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're ready to have a relationship. And so just looking at your motives behind wanting to date in general, or if, like, you have a specific person that you want to date, just, like, what are your motives?
So dating, as I've kind of already mentioned earlier, it's not really a sin issue. So, like, if you're dating before you might be ready, I don't think you're sinning. I don't think God's mad at you. I just don't know if it's necessarily the wisest thing to do. And here's just my opinion, like, take it or leave it. I would say when you're in middle school, you're probably not dating anybody with any kind of intention of marrying them. So you probably shouldn't be dating. I'm not saying you're doing something evil or wrong or bad if you're dating. I wouldn't recommend it. And even in early high school. But like I said, you're not sinning. I wouldn't recommend it.
I think if you date before you're ready, I think it's also going to hurt you when you start dating later, just because you aren't going to have a good idea of what a real relationship looks like.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have some false kind of sense of what that's going to be. Yeah.
So her and I started dating the end of our sophomore year of high school. So we're like, people are always like, well, then you can't tell people in high school they can't date because, you know, you started dating, you got married. True. But let me tell you this. If you start dating in high school and you actually are thinking about marrying that person, you're going to be dating for at least 4 to 6 years probably before you're ready to get married. I mean, I guess technically you could get married at 18 as soon as you graduate high school. It works out for some people. Most of the time that doesn't. So if you're dating in high school with marriage in mind, just know you're probably going to be dating for a number of years. And dating for 5, 6 years isn't easy. Especially if you're trying to honor God in your relationship and respect certain boundaries, that's a long time to date. So I would say don't be in a rush to get into a dating relationship in middle school or even early high school. Do you have anything you wanted to add to that?
No.
Okay. Question number 3, and this was one of the questions that was most asked on Instagram. It says, is there one person that you are supposed to marry? Is there a one?
Everyone's going to disagree with me on this. I say yes.
Wow.
Josh.
Right. Okay,
you're a romantic.
Like,
that's so much pressure.
I'm not saying, like, if you don't marry that one person, your life's going to be terrible. But I think that, like, God does have somebody for you specifically. I'm not saying that any other marriage can't work, like, if you mess it up with the one. But I think God has put somebody out there for you that he wants you to marry in that kind of sense. That's going to benefit you the most.
Yeah, and I think I agree with that. Like, now I'm nervous. No, like, I don't know. I really just don't think, like, there is one person on the whole face of this entire planet that you are supposed to marry. And I remember, again, like, talking to the girls, because, like, obviously I am one. Like, I remember thinking, like, is Matthew the one? I remember asking my life group, leader, how do I know that he is the one person for me? And what she told me was just so reassuring. And she was like, I really don't think there is one person. I think the person that you end up with is, like, your one person. And I know I kind of stole that a little bit from you. But, like, that just takes off so much pressure from, like, finding the one person, like, in the whole world who you're supposed to marry and who you're supposed to end up with. And I think, I don't know. I just think, like, you could work out with, like, a lot of different people, and whoever you find is, like, your one person.
There might be a best person.
Correct.
But there are many great options. She was my best option.
I was your best option,
and as good as it gets.
Morgan was his one.
I was his one.
Morgan was my only option.
You had no choice. You would be sinning if you didn't marry her.
Correct.
You're honoring the Lord.
I'm honoring
good
the
word.
Lord. Thank you.
I really offended him with my answer when we were talking through these last night, because I said there's more than one person that I think you can marry and make it work with. I'm sorry. But I think it goes back to finding someone who has the same foundation as you do. I think if there you could marry several people. Okay, that sounded, you know what I mean.
Not at the same time.
There are different options, okay?
And Utah.
There's not one person for everyone, okay? And so I think it goes back to having the same foundation as the person you're interested in. And if that is truly the most important thing for you, which it should be, I think you could make it work with different people. Yes.
The reason I don't believe in a one person you're supposed to marry is because if one person married the wrong person, they would ruin marriage for the entire world. Think about that. Because if I married the wrong person, then they're marrying the wrong person, and so on and so forth. That's just a lot of pressure, and maybe I just don't want that kind of pressure on my life. But that's why I don't believe in a one. And here's another thing. So when we started college, we both were at USF. But, I mean, I don't know this for sure, but let's say I had gone to college in Minnesota. We might not have stayed together. It just, you know, Minnesota, Tampa, different places. And I'm sure I could have met somebody there that I would have been a good fit with. And I'm sure she would have met somebody here that she would have been a good fit with as well. So don't feel like if I don't make this right decision or I don't go to the right place or the right college or the right high school, I'm never going to meet that one person that God has in mind for me. I think wherever you go, you're going to be able to find somebody that you're compatible with. Would y'all agree?
Yes.
Okay. So question number four. It's a real practical one, and another question that was asked by students. What are some good boundaries to put in place while you're dating? What are some boundaries that they should put in place when they're dating?
I'll go first. All right, so I'm going to take the practical, like, kind of friend approach, and I think when you start dating someone, it's really important to have a conversation with them about both of your expectations for, like, hanging out with friends and parents and family and all of that kind of stuff. Because when you start dating someone, you kind of need to know where they stand about hanging out with their friends or hanging out with their family and kind of how are you guys going to be spending time together in that way. Because here's the deal, girls, you're still going to want to go hang out with your girls, and guys, you're going to want to hang out with your friends as well. And so I think if you set those expectations early and you set those boundaries early, it's going to prevent a lot of that, like, further disagreement and kind of resentment that comes from when people hang out with their friends in a relationship.
I think that's really good, and having kind of the priorities in your life is super important. I think another thing that's good is, like, I don't know if you necessarily need to have this conversation from the beginning, but if you go in with the attitude of, like, just waiting to say I love you more, because, like, there's a lot of pressure behind those three words, and I think people say those as kind of like a way to progress the relationship and make it faster than it needs to be.
Because when you're 15 and somebody tells you they love you,
you're going to believe them.
Right.
Yeah.
Wise words.
So I think just, like, realizing that what you say has weight and it affects not only you but the other person a whole lot. So, like, holding off on trying to make those big emotional connections to kind of make your relationship feel more real is definitely something that's a boundary you need to put in place.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of took this as, like, not, like, those kind of boundaries, but, like, just physical boundaries. And I think, like, practically, like, when you first start dating someone on your very first date, you're not going to sit down and be like, okay, what boundaries are we going to put in place? Like, that's just not realistic. But I think you need to already be going into a relationship knowing what boundaries you want in a relationship. And, like, where is the line for you, and I'm not going to cross it. And this question that we're getting to in a little bit is going to help with this, but, like, I think, like, really practically, when you first start dating someone, like, your parents are probably setting all the boundaries for you, and you need to listen to them. Because the more that you push those boundaries and you push those lines and limits with them, they're not going to trust you, and the boundaries are just going to get harder and harder and, like, more closed off, I guess. But, like, listen to the boundaries that your parents set in place. If they don't want you in a room alone or in a room with the door closed, like, you don't do that. If they don't want you upstairs by yourself, you don't do that. If they want you here where they can see you, you listen to them. And so I think as you get older, the more that you earn your parents' trust, the more that they let you set some of those own boundaries. But go into a relationship knowing where the line is for you. You're not going to cross it. And then you can have, like, that conversation as you get a little bit more in depth in a relationship with someone.
So I broke this question down into three different categories. So in terms of physical boundaries, I'm not going to get super specific on this. But here's a bad approach to physical boundaries. If you're asking, how close can I get to the line? How far is too far? That's just a very bad approach to have, because wherever that line is, you're going to try to get as close to the line as possible. and then you're probably going to end up going over the line. So I would just say in terms of physical stuff, you will never regret going too slow in a relationship with somebody. You'll never look back and say, man, I really wish I had gone a lot further physically. But many people do look back and say, man, I wish we had gone slower. I wish I hadn't gone as far as I did. In terms of emotional boundaries, as Josh already kind of said, I don't understand the rush to say, I love you. I feel like sometimes we say that because we don't know how else to express ourselves, or we're trying to get them to stay in a relationship with us. But at least to me, I mean, maybe not to you, but to me, saying I love you to somebody is a big deal. Like, it's important. And I wouldn't just throw that out in any relationship that I had. I would want to hold on to those words. And then spiritually, girls, let me talk to you. This idea that your boyfriend should be your spiritual leader is just, it's wrong. Like, your boyfriend should not be your spiritual leader. Y'all don't need to do your quiet times together or pray together. In fact, I think that can kind of be a dangerous thing, because then your relationship and your faith are so tied in together that if you break up, it could devastate your faith as well as the relationship. So just don't put that pressure on your boyfriend or your girlfriend to be your spiritual leader or do quiet times together or pray together. I don't think that's the role that they're supposed to play. That's the role your husband or wife is supposed to play, but not your boyfriend or your girlfriend.
And I also don't think you know enough to lead somebody spiritually when you're like 15. At least I know I didn't. Like, because like, yeah, I think
you've got some impressive young men.
Right, no. I think just being honest with yourself, like, do you really want that responsibility? Be responsible for not only your own relationship with Christ, but then also taking on somebody else's, like you said. It's a lot.
Yeah. All right, question number 5. Why is it important to date someone with similar values and morals, or like a similar faith system? Why is that important? Or is it important?
I mean, I think this kind of helps with the question that we just answered. Like, if you are dating someone who has the same values and morals as you, not saying that it's going to be like easy the whole time, but you're not going to have that tension in your relationship that you would have if you were dating someone who didn't have those same values and morals. And I use this, if you're in my life group class, I'm sorry, you've heard this analogy so many times, but like, if I am like the person with all the good morals and values, and I'm standing, you know, on top of this stage, I guess, and I'm dating Matthew, and he maybe doesn't have the same values and morals as me, but I still really like him. I'm like, I want to play the hero, and I'm like, I want to help him. I want to fix him a little bit. So I'm like going to pull him up. I'm going to try so hard. But eventually, he's only going to pull me down to like his level. I think sometimes we want to like play the hero, and we want to say, yeah, I'm going to save my boyfriend, or I'm going to save my girlfriend, I'm going to bring them to Jesus. And I think sometimes that does work. But in all reality, it's just so difficult when you're not dating someone who is on the same page as you, because it might be easy at first, but the deeper you get into a relationship with them, the just more you're going to butt heads with things, and the more you're going to disagree, it's just going to get harder and harder. And I just don't think it's worth compromising your values, what you believe in, for someone who doesn't have those same beliefs as you.
And I agree. I think this goes back to, it's always easier to be influenced than to be the influencer. Like, it's really difficult. And so you might start out being a really, really good influence in your relationship, but eventually you're going to begin to make small compromises over time. And those small compromises are going to kind of lead you down a path that you might not necessarily have wanted to go. And before you know it, you're going to be making some bigger compromises that you probably never thought you would make. So I think I would just be really careful and remember that you need to be dating somebody that really believes the same things as you do.
I think that's all really good. I also think it's just not going to be as enjoyable if you're fighting all the time about what you don't have in common. And having your relationship built on something that you don't have in common is just never going to really last. So I think it just gives rise for more arguments that are never going to resolve, because they're not going to change, and hopefully you don't change what you believe in to fit with what they believe in. So I think it just creates a lot of headaches.
So one of the questions you guys asked a lot, kind of similar to this, was, should I date somebody who's a Christian if I'm a Christian? You know, should they follow Jesus if I do? And I'm going to kind of approach this question a little bit differently than maybe you've heard before. If your faith is only something you do on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, and it really doesn't impact your life at all, and it's just something you do when you show up at church, then I really don't think it matters if you date a believer or not, because you're not really behaving and believing like a believer. But if your faith, and your faith should be such a part of who you are, that you shouldn't even actually be able to date a non-believer. Your faith should be so much of the way you see the world and make decisions and your morals and your priorities that you want to even be compatible with somebody who's not a believer. So if you're in here and you feel like you could date somebody who's not a believer, then maybe that should be a red flag that your faith isn't as real in your life as it should be. Because I know, like if one of us was not a believer, it would be a big tension point because our faith is such a big part of our lives.
And that doesn't mean that the other person is a bad person. But if the center of your life is Jesus and honoring Jesus and living the life that he calls you to live, that's not going to match up with someone who does not call himself a follower of God. That doesn't mean they're a bad person. They can still have like good morals and good values, but the very core of who you are is always going to butt heads with the core of who they are. And that's just not worth it. And that's just like Josh said, it's not a relationship that has a good foundation at all. It might last for a little bit, but I think in the long run, it won't.
All right, question number 6. What advice do you have for people who start dating in the student ministry? Like dating in here.
All right.
With each other.
It's a risk, okay? It's a risk. And I'm speaking from experience, all right? So Josh and I were interested in each other our senior year of high school. It did not work out initially, okay? And it was awkward and it was uncomfortable. And when it didn't work out, it caused a pretty big divide in our friend group, okay? I felt uncomfortable being around him and his friends. And we went for, I think, 2-3 months without even speaking to each other. And he was one of my closest friends at the time. So you need to recognize that if you guys date and you break up, it's gonna cause some sort of issue, okay? You're a little naive if you think it's not going to. Now, I can't tell you how bad it's gonna be, but you just need to recognize that there is a risk involved with dating somebody in the student ministry.
That was God confirming he agrees. Good answer.
I would encourage, if you're gonna do it, be careful how you do it. You kind of have one shot to do it, and if you mess it up, then you become known as like the guy or the girl that tries to date everybody in the student ministry.
We all love that person.
Yeah. Never mind.
You were that person? Is that what you're saying?
No, I tried with her, and then she rejected me, but I got back, so you can recover, so that's good to know.
Thank you.
But I don't know what's going on. I think it's definitely risky. Friends get involved. And then also, I think it can create, like, an unnecessary distraction, definitely in kind of, like, church. Because you're not focusing on why you should be there. And why you should be there is to learn more about Christ and grow with other believers. And if you're just focused on trying to date somebody, you're not going to be able to grow in that way as much as you need to. And I definitely regret that aspect of it.
And I agree with you on that because I know for some of you guys who date in the student ministry, Sundays and Wednesdays are the only times that you see each other. And so when you're here at church, you're more focused on hanging out with your boyfriend or your girlfriend versus actually like learning and being open to, you know, like what God's telling you and everything like that.
So like I get why you would date in the student ministry, because to follow up the last question, if you're supposed to date somebody with similar values and morals, you're more likely than not going to find that person in the student ministry. So I get that. A few things I wrote down was this. If you start dating in the student ministry, don't get mad or be surprised when the spotlight's on you. Like, people are going to talk. People are going to know. So don't be like, how dare they talk about a relationship? Don't be surprised if that happens. Here's another one. If you break up, please don't leave. Like, there's always this, you know, if they're dating and they break up, one person feels like they have to leave. There are a lot of people in this room. If you break up, there are a lot of other people you can talk to, be friends with. Don't leave over a breakup at church. That's just silly. And lastly, don't switch churches for your boyfriend or your girlfriend. So if you are a part of here and you start dating somebody at another youth group and you leave because of that relationship, and then you break up, then you're kind of without your friend group and your church group, and you've lost your relationship. Like, I just, in high school and middle school, obviously, like, when you're engaged and married, it's important to go to the same church together, but just be careful about that at your age. Like I said, like, I don't think you're doing anything wrong if you do that. I would be careful. Anything you wanted to add?
I don't know. I really struggled with this one because obviously we dated and we were in the student ministry for, what, 2 years, I guess?
Two full years.
And it worked out. We didn't have issues. But, like, I just think, like Morgan said, it's really risky and you have to acknowledge, like, what could possibly happen if it doesn't work out. And you just have to be so careful not to get literally everyone else in the student ministry involved in your one relationship. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
All right, question number 7. How do you balance your friendships while you're dating? Maintaining your friendships, maintaining your dating relationship, how do you make all that work without hurting feelings and hurting relationships?
I think your friends would be naive if they didn't think your, like, obligations were going to change a little bit, but I don't think it's unfair than them to expect, like, you should still be friends with your friends even though you're dating somebody. And I think it's unfair of the other person to expect you to just hang out with them and spend time with them and, like, ignore your friends. And I think that's where a lot of, like, issues come up. So just, like, having the conversation, not, like, sitting somebody down and being like, I'm going to still hang out with my friends, but, like, kind of telling your friends, I may not see you guys as much, but I still care about you, and, like, I still want to, like, be your friend. I think that's just kind of being open and communicating with everybody makes it a lot better.
Yeah, I think it's unhealthy if you start dating someone and then all of a sudden you aren't friends with anyone else except for that one person. It's like you can always tell like, there's going to be issues if, like, a couple starts dating, they completely remove themselves from everyone else around them. And I really think that we did well at this because we both, I mean, our friend group was the same, like we all had the same group of friends, but I was so close to my girlfriends and he was so close with his guy friends that we still wanted to hang out with them separately. And we hung out with them a lot together in groups, but I still remember countless like sleepovers and hanging out with my girlfriends and all that stuff. And so I just don't think it's like, it's not worth losing all of your other friends because you don't know if your relationship's actually going to last. And so if you're just hanging out with that one person all the time, that might work for 6, 7, 8 months, but then all of a sudden you break up and you've completely lost all of your girlfriends and all of your support groups. So I just don't know if it's worth that.
Yeah, I would say in middle school and high school, your friendships should probably be more important even than your dating relationship, just because those friendships you're probably going to have at least for a number of years, and you just don't know about the dating relationship. So when you see people start dating and just bail on all their friends, and then they break up, it's just, it makes things difficult afterwards.
Yeah, I agree. I think you always need your friends regardless of your relationship status. And like she said, if you end up breaking up, you don't want to look around and not have anybody around you. So make sure your friends are important while you're dating.
All right, question number 8. What role should your parents play in your dating relationship?
I feel a collective eye roll coming from the group. Were you gonna say something?
No.
Okay. Your parents at any stage in your relationship should have a like extreme role. Whether you just started dating, whether you're in the middle of a relationship, or you've been dating someone for a long time, or you've been dating them so long that you're married. Like, your parents at every stage should be super involved. Now, that might look a little bit different at every stage, but like, when you first start dating, your parents are making all the rules for you, and they should be, and that's okay. Even if you're a senior in high school, like, your parents can still make rules for you. All my little senior babies right here are laughing at me. But I don't think it's okay or healthy or respectful or honoring to your parents if you think that you have the right or the ability to exclude them from your dating relationship. You're still a kid, you're still living under their roof, and so they should have involvement. And like I said, every stage, like we go to my parents all the time, just like now they're our friends more and we hang out with them, but we still go to them for advice and talking to them, and that's because we built that foundation with them so early on. And so your parents' role should be, like, the most important that you look to in that relationship. Like, you don't get to make the rules your parents do.
Yeah, like, her parents particularly were such a big part of our relationship. Like, I liked going and hanging out at her house with her parents, going to dinner with them, doing stuff together. Like, I didn't see that as a negative thing. Yeah. Like, I saw that as a positive thing, which made my relationship, with her parents really strong.
Yeah, and I might be stealing something that they're going to say, but the more that you hang out with your parents and the more that you let them see your relationship, the more they're going to trust you and the quicker they're going to trust you and the easier it's going to be for them to say, yeah, okay, they can go off on their own. They can go on a date. rather than like, you know, Matthew walking in the door and just walking straight back to like the game room or whatever and not talking to my parents for the rest of the night until he leaves. But that's like never a good thing at all. Like, you need to talk to them and hang out with them and be in the open with them. Don't close yourself off, because they're probably literally never going to trust you if you do that.
I think you want to date somebody that respects your parents, because I think that also shows that they're going to respect you in turn, just because they may love you, like, or they may say that they love you when you're dating, but like, everything goes well for the first couple of months, but you know how what somebody's character is when they're actually trying to like make a genuine connection with somebody, and you want that to be part of your relationship moving forward. So I think that's a good thing to kind of show respect and actually try to, I don't know if like be friends is the right word. I'm definitely friends with your parents. And like, I hang out with her parents and she's not there sometimes, and I like that.
Kevin's the man.
Kevin's the best. Like,
and cook a good steak.
Amazing steaks. So like, I think that definitely, like, it gives you an opportunity to like get a lot more relationships. And like you said, it makes your relationship with each other a lot easier when you have their support as well.
I would encourage you to listen to your parents too. And I know sometimes when your parents express concern about your boyfriend and your girlfriend, your automatic reaction is to just tune them out and not listen to anything they say, because I know that can cause fights. Like, it caused fights between my mom and I when we were in high school. But looking back, my mom had a perspective outside of my relationship that I didn't have. So when she expressed concern about a boyfriend or a guy that I liked, she was seeing things that I myself wasn't seeing. And so in the moment, I'm thinking, Mom, why are you telling me this? It's so rude. Like, I don't care what you think. But looking back, she knew what was best for me, and she was just trying to give me guidance and advice. So if they express some kind of concern, I know your first reaction is to just tune them out, but actually listen to them and hear what they're saying.
All right, I'm going to make this the last question, answer this one pretty quickly. How do you know when to break up? If you're in a relationship, how do you know when it just needs to be over? You want me to go first? Okay, here's what I wrote down. Here's some signs that you should break up. If they are controlling, break up with them. If they are pressuring you to compromise some of your morals, break up with them. If they cheat on you, break up with them. And here's why. Even if they come back to you and say, I'll never do it again, if they cheat on you while you're dating, they will definitely cheat on you if you get married. If they talk bad about your friends and talk bad about your parents to you. So if they're always just complaining about your friends, complaining about your parents, that for me would be a red flag that they might not be somebody I want to be in a relationship with.
I'd add, if your friends, now it's different if your friends don't like who you're dating, because that can be like a little bit different if like they're just jealous that you're spending more time with that person. But if they actually bring up points of why you guys shouldn't be dating, I definitely take that to heart, because they know you better than your parents may know you, because they get a lot of like the realness of you. They know you better than the person you're dating knows you. So if they say you're not being yourself and you should break up, I definitely think you should take that to heart. And I've seen what happens when it doesn't happen, like when you don't listen to them, and it just makes everything worse in the relationship long term. Then it makes the friendship different, because you're not respecting each other anymore.
So what I have to say kind of goes back to being controlling, is if they isolate you, that's not a good sign. So if they're taking you away from your friends and from your family and from those people who can give you perspective, because oftentimes in a relationship we don't have perspective, if they're taking you away from those people, that's a really unhealthy sign, and you need to look around and make sure you have your friends and your family who are still there next to you and they're not isolating you.
Yeah, and I think, like, if any of those things are occurring, you have, like, this gut feeling that something's not right. I think we have, like, intuition for a reason. And so if you just in general feel like something's not right in this relationship, you probably should break up with them, because it's probably not going to ever get right or get better. And it's not worth, again, compromising everything you say you believe in for this one person.
All right, awesome job. Can we make some noise for our panel? All right, as the band makes their way back up, let me pray for us. God, we thank you for tonight. And Lord, we thank you for relationships, friendships, relationships with parents, our dating relationships, marriages, God. These are all relationships that you've designed. And God, I just pray for our students in here who, I know dating is something that they hear about, they see about, they have friends dating, maybe they're dating. God, that they would just date in a way that honors you, that they would make wise decisions, that they would know their priorities, that you come before any other relationship. Lord, I pray, God, just for wisdom for them as they walk through this messiness called dating. Lord, just protect them. Help them to listen to their parents, listen to their friends. But God, most importantly, that they would listen to you and seek you first. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.